I basically, we took all the questions that we had to answer and we kind of farmed it out to the different officers to kind of answer and write up. Mm-hmm. And this year we...
USA Radio News.
This whole Russia stuff was, I think, much more wishful thinking on the part of FBI agents like Peter Strzok, who didn't like Trump, the anti-Trump media, who obviously didn't like him, and, of course, the Democrats who were running a campaign against him.
Congressman Ron DeSantis reacting to the fact that the House Intelligence Committee has released a controversial memo outlining alleged abuse of secret surveillance by the FBI and the Justice Department in the Trump-Russia investigation. President Trump also spoke on this earlier today at the White House.
You want to know the truth? I think it's a disgrace. What's going on in this country, I think it's a disgrace. The memo was sent to Congress. It was declassified. Congress will do whatever they're going to do.
Taking a quick look at the numbers on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down over 500 points looks to be headed towards its worst week in 2 years. This is USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard us talking about MediShare on the radio or heard people saying how they're really thankful for MediShare. And you're like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? Hey, it's a great question. So here's what it is. MediShare is a nationwide community of Christians who share each other's medical costs. Here's why it's grown so much. MediShare costs about half what other healthcare programs cost. It's flexible, too, so you can pick a plan that fits your monthly budget, and you get to choose your own doctor from one of America's largest networks. Something else people really appreciate, you don't have to pay for procedures or prescriptions that go against your beliefs. And you know what the best part is? It works. And it's worked for more than 20 years. People who've experienced catastrophic health bills get their needs met. People pray for each other. MediShare is a nonprofit, faith-based ministry, and it could be a huge blessing to you. Here's how you can find out more. Call 833-39-BIBLE, now available in Montana. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
A list of the nation's most hated companies is out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has a look at the worst of the worst.
Using information gained from worker reviews, surveys, and major news stories of the past year, the financial news site 24/7 Wall Street has compiled this list of the most hated companies in America. Number one on it this time around is Equifax because of the big data breach last summer that put over 145 million Americans at risk for identity theft, and the company then kept the information to itself for over a month before letting the public know. Rounding out the top five, the Fox Entertainment Group, the NFL, University of Phoenix, and Electronic Arts. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And today is Groundhog's Day in Pennsylvania. Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, which allegedly means another six more weeks of winter. For all of these stories and more, please check out usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Yesterday, while speaking at the GOP tax retreat, President Donald Trump took a shot at House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. For once again, earlier this week, Nancy Pelosi said the returns and the bonuses employees were receiving from their companies amounts to crumbs. A manufacturing company in Northeast Georgia joined the chorus of companies that are giving their employees bonuses based on the tax cuts that were signed last year into law by President Donald Trump. Marble Mincy is the name of the company, and the CEO and president of the company, Donna Mincy, joined Fox News to talk about her employees' reaction to the bonuses.
Oh, people were jumping up and down. They're so happy. You know, there's all kinds of things that $1,000 will do. And, you know, when you're in the South, that's a lot of money.
The number of chicken wings Americans are expected to eat on Super Bowl Sunday may surprise you. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The National Chicken Council, which is the trade association for chicken producers and processors in America, claims 1.35 billion chicken wings will be consumed during the upcoming big game this Sunday. And the council's recommending if you haven't purchased your wings for the game yet, you better do so today while supplies are up and prices are low. As the council reminds Americans that while a lot of chickens are produced here, everyone only has two wings. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, good afternoon. February, I guess, 6 more weeks of winter, according to that little rat out in Pennsylvania that comes out every year to tell us whether or not we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. I'm Pat Smits, and I'll be talking about the law this afternoon. My program, It's the Law, and those of you who know me and follow the program know that I am an attorney here in Hunterdon County. Actually, I practice all over the state, but my practice is limited to family law. In fact, I was not here last week, and apparently the guests that I thought were going to come in to take over the program somehow didn't make it. I was at the annual Family Law Symposium, and there are probably about 600 attorneys that attend it, not that many on Friday night, but it's Friday night and all day Saturday. You know, if anybody wanted to find a family law attorney, that's certainly where they'd be able to find about 600 of them every year. So we'll be back after I tell you about the weather. And for any of you Eagle fans who are planning to go out to Minneapolis, if you haven't left yet, take all of the warm clothes. Make sure you can layer. People are saying, well, wait a minute, that's an indoor stadium. Yep, it is. And in fact, those of us who are Packer fans think they're all, you know, wimps in Minneapolis. But you're going to have to get to the stadium, and on game day, they're predicting, and they always, usually in the Midwest, they tell you what the temperature is, but this time they're, I guess, trying to scare everybody, so they're telling you that it could be minus 20 below wind chill. So that's pretty cold. I actually sat at a Packer game, actually that Packer Giant playoff game, when it was 13 below, not wind chill, actual temperature, and believe me, that's cold. So what can we expect in this area with respect to temperature? Well, it said hazardous weather warnings. However, I think that was probably because of the morning. There was certainly ice on some of the back roads. But tonight, it's mostly clear, and tomorrow actually should start out sunny, high of about 30 degrees with increasing clouds. Then tomorrow night, again, it'll be coming mostly cloudy, and then there's about a slight chance of snow, maybe 20% chance, depending where you are. This morning, I talked to people in Lebanon Township, and some of them had about 3 inches of snow. In Clinton Township, we really didn't have more than a dusting, and it doesn't look like there was much here in Flemington. So what should happen here if you're going to Super Bowl party on Sunday? There's about a 60% chance of snow, so then it's likely snow, and it could be after that rain and snow because the temperature, the high could get to about 38 degrees. So that could be a bit treacherous, especially if it freezes before you get home, because there's about an 80% chance of rain, and then it about a 70% chance of rain and snow later Sunday night. Then there is a slight chance of snow showers on Monday, about a 20% chance. But if you're driving early Monday morning, remember the warning that you have to really watch if it's been if there's any snow mixed with rain, because you have to be very careful of the ice, especially on the back roads. So Monday, only about a 20% chance of snow, and then Monday night, partly cloudy, and, you know, we can't even predict with accuracy, I don't think, what happens the next day or two. So going any farther than Monday is really, you know, something that, you know, who knows. But I know today there was, in most of the areas, I think all, maybe all, of the schools here in Hunterdon County had a delayed opening. And so be careful, because the buses might be coming back later than you'd expect. But again, into Tuesday night, as I said, although it's always hard to predict, there is a chance of snow Tuesday night. And then, however, on Wednesday, there is a snow is likely before 11 a.m. And then could be rain, mixture of rain and snow. Wednesday night, rain and snow. Again, Thursday, chance of snow. So we could get some snow this next week. And, of course, that little rat over in Pennsylvania said we have six more weeks of winter, so that's what we should be expecting. And I'll be back after I just give you some of our updates from our sponsors, who we all appreciate. And even the Chamber. We appreciate the Chamber when they're giving a spot. And by the way, I may be the first to let you know, but we're going to have our annual breakfast that we have for new members and for members, Chamber members, who will bring a potential new member. I think we've selected the date April 26th. We've been trying the last few years to do it near or on St. Patrick's Day, but we just couldn't put it together. So if you are a member of the Chamber, start thinking of potential members that you'd like to invite. The breakfast is free to members who bring a potential member, and, of course, to the potential members. I think it will be at Beaverbrook, which is a nice location. And so put it on your calendar right now and start giving yourself three or four people to invite. And remember, Chamber members do business with Chamber members. And it's really fun to see some of the new Chamber members and some of the new businesses that are coming in. I just heard of maybe it's not such a new business, but I just heard of a new business, and I am now going to go and see them. And this happens to be a restaurant, and it's going to be on my list to, within the next couple weeks, go and try them out. So back in a minute.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm back. I'm Pat Smiths. The program It's the Law, and I am an attorney here in Hunterdon County. I practice all over the state, but my practice is limited to family issues, not criminal, but other family issues. And so let's talk about what's been happening in the news as far as legal. Just about a week ago, maybe a little bit more, the U.S. Department of Justice indicated that they planned on retrying U.S. Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey and his co-defendant. If you will recall or are following this, there was a hung jury. Now, most recently, the Justice Department indicated that they were not going to retry Senator Menendez. So, you know, I haven't really been following to any extent as to why they thought they had a good chance to retry him or why they decided not to. But that's the latest. Of course, tax news and the dossier is on the agenda as far as federal. There's, you know, real concern about what's happening. But I don't want to go into that. I try to limit my issues to what happens to in New Jersey, or at least to those of us who live in New Jersey. And of course, one thing that is really going to happen are huge changes to our tax laws based on the tax reform, what they call a tax reform bill, and it's really been called the Tax Cut or Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. Well, we shall see. As we know, if you've been following today, the stock market took a big hit, hovering between 500 and 600, down 500 to 600. Not sure what it's done a little later today, and not sure of all of the reasons, because the job and employment situation is good, only about 4.1% unemployment, according to the statistics. In any event, this massive Republican tax bill was signed into law on Friday, December 22nd, so that at the very best, it is certainly a mixed bag of somewhat reduced tax rates, depending on who you are, and more importantly for those of us who live in New Jersey, where you live. because it's eliminating personal exemptions. It's eliminating reducing certain deductions. It's increases in the standard deductions and child tax credits. However, if you're someone who has itemized and have a big advantage in itemizing, that is probably going to be wiped out. There's an expansion of expenses that can be paid from a 529 plan, but of course 529 plans are only those plans, college savings under certain plans, and there are pros and cons actually with families even establishing 529 plans. If you're considering doing it, please talk to your accountant or someone else who really is knowledgeable about the benefits to the 529 plans versus saving in some other way. What we all do know is that there's a substantial reduction in the corporate tax rate. And, you know, that, along with the fact that there is going to be a huge deficit of estimates of $1.5 trillion dollars, which I'm concerned my grandchildren are going to be paying. But in any event, there's much more to the new law. However, in my field, and you know, I handle divorces, the biggest impact on divorcing couples is the elimination of the alimony deduction. So we thought it was going to be in as of December 31st, 2017, and believe me, people were scrambling to get divorced before the end of 2017. It is now, it's going to be for any divorce or separation agreements entered after December 31st, 2018. And so what that means is a deduction for alimony or separate maintenance payments is repealed. So recipients, meaning the people that receive alimony or separate maintenance payments, it's very rare that we're dealing with separate maintenance payments in New Jersey. But in any event, someone who is receiving alimony will no longer be required to include the alimony payments in their gross income. And however, what this means is that it means that these payments, alimony payments, will be treated like child support. At this time, alimony payments are deductible to the person who makes the payments. Child support payments are not deductible. And so in the future, alimony payments will be treated like child support. However, existing alimony or separate maintenance payments are grandfathered in, as are, we think, any modifications to existing agreements. However, what that means is a party to a modification expressly provided that the new rule should apply to the modified agreement. So what people in the future can do is say, we're going to treat this as non-taxable to the recipient. However, prenuptial agreements are not grandfathered in. But why is this of significance? And I think that most family lawyers would say that the dependent spouse really can receive more money because the alimony payments up until the end of 2018 for those agreements that are not done by the end of 2018, the person paying alimony will not be able to deduct it. So at this point, let's say, and the traditional is man is paying the alimony and the wife is receiving it. That's traditional. It's certainly not in every case. But let's give an example of that. What if both parties are earning the same income, it would be extremely rare, or even close, extremely rare that there would be any alimony. So we're dealing with a situation where there's a higher income earner and a lower income earner. Usually the dependent spouse who may have been out of the workforce for many years, and so what happens is ordered to maintain lifestyle, and nobody, rarely can someone maintain lifestyle after divorce. But in any event, what happens is this higher income wage earner or income earner will pay alimony to the dependent or lower wage earner spouse. And let's say it's the husband in this case. Well, he gets to deduct the alimony he pays to the former wife. And that saves him taxes, because if he's in a, you know, let's say 35% bracket and she's in a 15% bracket, he's getting that difference in savings over and above what she has to pay. And that's usually what happens. And it may also be a situation where the wife, former wife, is also has deductions for mortgage interest on the house because the house has been transferred to her as part of the divorce settlement. So we look at the tax impact in these cases, and we adjust the amount of alimony because of the tax impact. So what's going to happen in the future is husbands are not going to be able to afford to pay as much as they have been paying, even though they have the same salary. And that is, of course, because the person who pays alimony, it doesn't reduce their Social Security or Medicare tax. They still have to pay that, but it just it lowers their federal and state taxes. So, you know, will the government actually be getting that much more money because of this elimination? You know, we don't think so. Now, there are a lot of questions about identifying, classifying, and valuing stock options and restricted stock units for purposes of equitable distribution and income availability upon divorce or even post-divorce. So we are going to be having seminars and learning much more about these things based on the new tax law. But I guess, you know, in New Jersey, there's something that is really significant. And for most part, people say that New Jersey residents could be the hardest hit, along with probably California and New York. And the reason for that is that taxpayers who purchase new homes, at this point, mortgage interest, they can claim mortgage interest up to $1 million of debt. Now, this is going to be reduced to $750,000 of debt. Obviously, that's still a huge mortgage, but for many people, and certainly in our area, they're carrying very, very large mortgage debts. Now, this reduction, meaning the $750,000, does not apply to taxpayers who already owned their homes with mortgages in place prior to December 15th, 2017. So the real problem for most people, and especially in Hunterdon County, is mortgage interest is now deductible only for the taxpayer's primary residence. Well, that's going to hit everyone in New Jersey. No, I shouldn't say that. Everyone in New Jersey who has a second home, they're only going to be able to deduct mortgage interest for the primary residence. Now, a lot of people would say, well, you know, that's good because, you know, why should people be able to deduct for two homes when most people can't afford more than one? Now, this will have a significant impact, however, I believe, on the real estate industry. I'm not a real estate attorney. I don't handle closings. However, one of the considerations for people purchasing second homes has been the deductibility of the mortgage interest. So that will be significant, and certainly seems to me it will be significant in states where people have second homes and need to, they can't buy the second home without taking a mortgage. So the other thing, however, if you already own your vacation home, you're getting grandfathered in, so you're the lucky one. Now, the other problem that's going to hit so many people is that interest on home equity lines of credit, HELOCs, are no longer tax deductible. And that's not grandfathered in. So if, in fact, you have a equity line of credit on your home, you might have taken it out, really valid reasons. So many people take out that home equity line of credit to pay college for their children, perhaps to buy a car because the interest would be lower than if they're, if they just buy it on a regular loan. So the HELOCs, you're not going to be able to deduct that interest both on new ones and on existing ones. So that is really significant. And frankly, in my career, I see so many lines of credit, especially for kids who are going to college. I mean, parents don't and have not been able to save what is required to for college. And so that's a way that they tap into their equity of their home to get their kids through college. Now, should people, especially people perhaps reaching retirement age, use that? Maybe not, but the point is that's a way that many people finance important things that they need to pay for. Now, certain people, just every time they can, they run up, and it may be foolish, but the difficulty is, for every person that probably is just running up lines of credit on toys and vacations and other things, there are other families who are running up lines of credit to pay for college, to pay for medical, and to pay other very legitimate expenses. So what else is going to hit New Jersey, I think, big time, especially those of us in Hunterdon County, is that in addition to the mortgage interest deduction limitation, which I guess we can say is not going to hurt a lot of people, but what is there's a limit on deduction for state and local taxes. And that is going to allow only a maximum deduction of $10,000 for a couple, right? And $5,000 if married filing separately, for all state and local income taxes combined. And that includes property taxes, sales taxes, and income taxes. And take a look, because I would like to know the percentage of the people in Hunterdon County who are paying less than $10,000. So you're filing a joint return, and it's not $10,000 each. It's $10,000 for the couple. And if you think, oh, well, I'll get tricky and I'll file a separate return, married filing separately, because then I can take 10 and my spouse can take 10. They thought of that. So as a note, the basic analysis with respect to the tax law changes indicates that a single or married W-2 employee should be able to bring home more of his or her paycheck due to the decrease in the tax rates and the doubling of the standard deduction. However, as a taxpayer earns a higher salary, the compressed higher rate brackets for single filers combined with the loss of the deductions for everyone may result in a de minimis savings or even possibly higher taxes for taxpayers in states like New Jersey with relatively high income taxes, and most especially if the taxpayer owns a home. So again, what kind of an impact is this going to have even on purchasing first homes? Because renters, don't have to worry about this. But people who have high itemized deductions, first of all, there's going to be fewer people. The estimate, of course, is that there are fewer people now who will file itemized taxes. But those who do could get hit high, with a real impact on that. And, sometimes people have to, or they itemize, for example, because they have high deductible for medical. Well, if they don't itemize, they're not going to be able to get that. So I think there's nothing we can do about it other than understand when everybody says, oh, it's so great. It really is probably not so great and very possibly detrimental, and certainly if we take a look at what's going to happen with the deficit. So there's other qualified business income deductions for K-1 income, partnerships, limited liability companies, and S corporations. And so there's a 20% qualified business income deduction, which results in the taxpayer paying taxes on only 80% of the pass-through income if they are able to claim the full deduction. And when I emphasized if, it needs to be emphasized because it's significant, because this tax advantage is riddled with exceptions, with many claiming that this part of the new tax law is the most onerous to understand. I'm not a tax expert, but I am a business owner because I have a law practice, an LLC, and so I am going to be having to look at all of this, or I guess I should say my accountant. And so where we thought the taxes would be simplified and it would not be full employment for accountants, I think we're wrong. However, I won't go into this, because if you're a business owner, you really need to talk to your accountant to determine, how this is working. Because an analysis done on a business by business basis for any taxpayer owning one or more pass-through entities, you just have to have good advice from somebody who really has studied this and knows it. Because, for example, if there are taxpayers who are providing personal services, the 20% deduction is available only if the business owner's taxable income is below certain thresholds. And it's a fairly, for most of us it would be fairly high. It's $315,000 for married taxpayers filing a joint return, but this deduction may be phased out. And if the taxpayer misses the income threshold by less than $50,000 for single taxpayers, or less than $100,000 for married filing jointly taxpayers, then the 20% deduction, phases out gradually. And once again, I said it's full employment for accountants, because that's the only, they're going to have to figure these things out. And I've already mentioned how historically alimony was taxable to the recipient, meaning the person who gets it, and deductible for the payor, person who pays it, unless the parties agreed in writing that was not going to be the situation. In other words, parties can, in fact, agree that it's not taxable and deductible. However, in general, it was. Now, there's also It suspends, the new tax code suspends miscellaneous itemized deductions with respect to an employment in an individual's employment and tax preparation expenses. There's so many other things that it, you know, I know that corporations, their rate has gone down, but there are really so many other things that it just seems to me that people who have been able to itemize in the past, that's for many, many, many of us, that's not going to happen because there is a higher standard deduction, and that standard deduction is $24,000 for married taxpayers filing jointly. And so if you had more than, in 2017, the standard deduction for married folks filing jointly was $12,700. So if you have more deductions than $12,700, it made sense to file and itemize your deductions. So now, unless you have deductions that you can itemize more than $24,000, it won't make sense for you to itemize. And as I said, though, to balance out that increase in the higher standard deduction, personal exemptions have been eliminated. So in the past, you'd get your personal exemption, plus you'd be able to itemize. So what is, there's this big deal that, tax rates are going to go way down. Well, the old rate for taxpayers, let's see, I'm trying to think, for individuals. Well, let me just give you married, because if you're married, you paid 39.6% on taxable income over $470,700. Now, that's a significant difference now, because now married taxpayers filing jointly will only pay, I shouldn't say only, it's still a lot, but 37% on taxable income over $600,000. So the old income bracket for the minimum tax rate, $10,000, was on taxable income up to $18,650. Don't tell me anybody can live in New Jersey easily on that amount of money. So now that new income bracket, instead of $18,650, it's up to $19,050. So obviously not huge, not even a difference of $1,000. So then the old rate of 15%, the new rate will be 12%. So that's on income between, the new rate is between that $19,051 and $77,400. So that will be a 3% savings in the tax rate. However, again, as I said, the personal exemptions are going to be eliminated. So, in general, married taxpayers filing jointly will see a shift upward in how much taxable income they can have before they reach the next bracket. But it's pretty small in most cases. In other words, in the 15% bracket, it was up to $75,900. Under the new one, it will be up to $77,400. So, and the tax rate that was 25% between $76,000 and $153,000 is now going to be 22% on about $77,000 up to $165,000. So, there are, some changes, I mean, there are definitely changes in the tax brackets. However, since there other things that they're taking out and putting in, that just, you can't just look at that. And that's the thing that bothers me. So often we hear, oh, your tax rate's going to go down from 39.6%. Well, yes, your tax rate will, but in light of the additional things that most people, or many people here in New Jersey are paying, including higher state income taxes and, of course, the property taxes. So if you're actually going to be paying more money. So let's, I keep harping on this tax because it's still, I think most people, once they start figuring it out, are not going to see any savings. And when you take a look at, or maybe a tiny bit of savings, but that goes along with this huge, huge deficit that somebody's going to have to pay sometime. And one of the concerns has to be, or should be, the amount of interest on its debt that the United States is paying. So, be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, the voice of business, no, this is the voice of law. And what else is happening? Well, as I said, I kind of got bogged down in talking more about the tax. I think next week I may talk about the latest in family law based on, you know, the top 10 cases of the last year and some of the top stories, so of what was happening. On the other hand, I am looking and will be having a program and a couple guests on franchising and a lawyer who does franchise work and one or two people who have franchises. So if you know of anyone, you know, that is interested, have them call me at my office. I'm Pat Smits, 908-236-7530. I did, while you were listening to sponsors, just the closing of the stock market today was down 666 points, 2.5% drop, which was the biggest since June of 2016. Not sure if you know, we'll hear all the pundits as to why and whether it, people are just selling off to take profits and or whether there is some real concerns with the market. I know Apple and some of the tech companies did not do as well as predicted. So in any event, you know, I think most people who stay in the stock market have gained, but, you know, it's certainly something to look into if, in fact, you're lucky enough to be able to invest in the stock market. But this, of course, affects people who have retirement plans, who, you know, it, sometimes more of us are in the stock market than think we are because of, you know, things like retirement plans. So let's, what else has been happening? Oh, apparently there was a New Jersey firm seeking a 45% contingency fee in a student discrimination case. They didn't get it. And usually contingency fees are about a third, and so this, obviously they thought they had a real reason to get substantially more than is reasonable. And of course, people who know, contingency fee cases are those cases where the law firm takes on a case, it's not an hourly fee, takes on a case with an agreement that they will take a certain percentage of what is collected, if anything is collected. Now, in family law, that's not permitted, except in cases of tort claims. So there's some very limited ways in connection with tort claims that it could be contingency. But, for example, if I have a case where people have $5 million in assets, I can easily have a lower bill in that case than I might have with people who have $100,000 in assets, because in family law, there's so many reasons why cases get more expensive. And sometimes it's the litigants that are being unreasonable or one of the litigants who's being unreasonable. Sometimes I have a case right now where I'm representing the husband, and the wife just keeps insisting that she wants to go to trial. Trials are extremely expensive. They're very lengthy, especially in a case like the case I'm talking about, because not me, there's a discovery master who estimated that it could be a 20 to 30 day trial. And in New Jersey, our judges do not have time to do more than usually 2 or 3 days at a time, if that. And so that a case that would take that many days at trial could easily take a year to finish. So unlike jury trials, because a jury trial, if it's a 20-day trial, they will have the jury sit, you know, every single week until it's done, usually Monday through Thursday. That's why people are so concerned if they may get selected for a very long jury trial, because it means that it totally disrupts your life. And matrimonial cases, divorce cases, are not heard by juries. So the judges are overwhelmed, everybody's too busy, and they just take forever. So what else? Bayonne, the city of Bayonne, agreed to a $400,000 settlement of a suit claiming it denied a zoning variance for construction of a mosque based on an anti-Muslim basis. And, you know, there obviously had to be something there, one would assume, and that's why they decided not to go to trial. On the other hand, you know, sometimes settlements have nothing to do with fault, but rather, you know, especially insurance companies often want to settle just because of the cost of litigation. So there was a case actually reported today, an educational law case, and the initials AW versus Mount Holly Township, and this was an appellate division decision, and the appealed a trial court ruling imposing a contingent attorney's fee limitation. So this is the one I was talking about where they were seeking 45%. So they it had to do with a limitation on a minor plaintiff's settlement of law against discrimination and other claims, and they denied that in the absence of plaintiff's application of a fee-shifting award. So apparently the plaintiff retained this law firm to represent her in an action against the Mount Holly Township Board of Education arising from alleged gender and or disability discrimination after the township failed to investigate or address alleged near-constant bullying of the plaintiff. Now, the plaintiff, A.W., through her mother, entered a retainer agreement with the law firm providing for a 45% contingent fee or hourly fee if greater. That's unusual. In other words, in that case, the law firm, either way, they were going to get their contingency fee or their hourly fee if greater. Now, filing, after they filed the action, they reached a settlement, and that was inclusive of attorney's fees and costs of $100,000. So the settlement further precluded the plaintiff from applying for fee shifting. And so then the law firm sought approval of its 45% contingency, although contingent fees involving minor plaintiffs are limited to 25%. So now, although the plaintiff and her mother testified that they understood the amount of recovery and the fees sought by the law firm, and they further testified that they were satisfied with the attorney's performance, they did not testify as to whether they were aware that they had a right to apply for fee shifting, and that if they were waiving that right under the settlement. So again, the litigants need to understand what they're agreeing to. The law firm argued that the fee shifting claims were exempt from the contingent fee limitation because she had agreed to the higher fee. So the trial court imposed a 25% fee limitation, finding that the attorneys had failed to present evidence demonstrating the reasonableness of a 45% contingency fee and had further failed to discuss the fee shifting or the forfeiture with the plaintiff or her parents. And on appeal, the appellate division affirmed, noting the unreasonableness of limiting contingent fees when the plaintiff applied for fee shifting, but allowing any level of contingency where no such application was made. So the appeal, the court affirmed the 25% rather than allowing the 45%. And what this shows, obviously, is that they had to talk about how, in that case, the reasonableness of a 45% contingency fee, and that that the plaintiff was aware that they could have applied for fee shifting in that case. There was another unemployment case. That this is, I think, this is interesting from a standpoint of, let me tell you about it, and I'll wrap this up shortly. But in any event, this is, I guess, I have to wrap it up now. But this is there was an appellate division denial of an application for unemployment, and the plaintiff in that case was employed as a registered nurse prior to starting her last position. And then she suffered from permanent chronic neck and lower back, and